Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we all go running and around and around, and now it is time to stop running. Music by a band called Newborn, an amazing new band that are up and coming with some really, really awesome music. It's newborn.com. Check it out. My name is Chippy Feldenstein, and you are ready to step into the Chippy Zone and entertain with Chippy Talk. Welcome on this beautiful cloudy day on the East Coast, wherever you are. Hope you're enjoying your day. My name is Chippy Feldenstein again, and today's guest is Emily Wallace, who has written a book called Scarred for Life. And it is a very, very touching story of her journey. I know that everybody has a story, but not everybody has a story that is touching and that is really survival in one of the harshest circumstances possible. So I'm really, really happy that we have Emily Wallace come back and talk to us about it, because we spoke before about the book, Scarred for Life, and we wanted to get a little bit more information, a little bit more of the story of how she actually survived. So thank you, Emily, for joining us, and welcome to Chippy Talk.
And thank you for having me here, Tiffany. I really appreciate it to come back to speak again about my story.
Yes, it's a very touching story. I'm sure that everybody that hears your story is very touched by it. Have you had that experience when you talk to people?
I beg your pardon?
Have you had the experience when you talk to people that most of the people that you talk to are very touched by what you went through?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so you know that it's not something that too many people go through. It's something very unique and very, very different. I was thinking about it, and basically, let me just kind of give people an introduction of what it is that you went through. You found yourself alone and on the street when you were 11 years old.
Yes, yes.
So one day you come home from school and everything changes in your life. Nothing will ever be the same.
Correct.
Give us a very short picture of what happened, just so that we can refresh our listeners so that they know what we're talking about.
Well, I came home from school about 3:15. I waited up at the school for my sister, and she never came out to school. So my mother had already picked her up from school and left me in school. So I walked it home from school, and I, when I got to the house, I was already hungry because I ate about 11 o'clock that day, and I was really looking forward to eat when I get home. And when I knocked on the door, I didn't get an answer. I knocked and knocked and, you know, walking around the house trying to see, can I, you know, look in through the windows, where's everybody at? I'm wondering, saying, what happened? Where's everyone at? And I didn't get an answer. I just sat on the steps and just waited until, you know, hoping that, you know, she, my mother, would come back and pick me up. But I didn't, I waited for a very long time. I never got that.
And you didn't have a clue that you were going to come home from school, and nobody told you anything at all beforehand?
No. No. I never gotten any anything from them. I never knew that my mother would leave me like that, or one of my sisters and brothers. My sister that I walked to school with didn't say anything about it when we walked to school that day. And I went to my class, and she went to her class, like, you know, a normal day. Nothing, no one never said anything. She didn't tell me anything.
Right. So out of nowhere, an 11-year-old comes home and finds that now you're all alone. Your mother is gone. Your big family, you had a big family, everybody's gone. And you find yourself on the street, which is very harsh for an 11-year-old, especially when you're not prepared for it. Even if you are prepared for it, I don't know how prepared an 11-year-old can be, but if you are prepared for it, perhaps a little bit could be done. But without anything, all of a sudden, boom, nobody's gone. And so you went through a very, very rough few years. How many years did it take you until you actually were able to get off being homeless and being on the street?
Well, I was on the streets for almost about 6 years. Almost 6 years.
For
almost
six years. So you were almost 17
close,
years
very,
old.
Very, yes, very close. Very close. I probably like about, I was about to turn 17. I was about to turn 17, maybe like about a month and a half when I did locate my mother.
Oh, so you found your mother after 6 years on the street.
Yes.
Were you looking for her for 6 years?
Yeah, I was looking for, well, you know what? I was praying and hoping that I find my mother the whole time while I was out there. Because I didn't, it was hard for me to do without a mother. It was hard for me to do without seeing my dad. My dad and my mother was not together. So I tried to, you know, when my mother first left me, stay in that area, you know, in the area where she, excuse me, the last time I saw her. And I know my dad stayed somewhere maybe about 10 or 15 blocks from there. And I searched and searched for his house because he had a yellow house, and I couldn't find it. But I just, my dad ended up passing away. He never knew my mother left me behind. He never knew. Because
wow.
If he would have known, he would have took me in. I know that.
Right.
He wouldn't have let that one on. But it was just very, I can tell you, Tiffany, it was very, very scary. It was,
right.
I went through so much out there on the streets. I went through hunger. I went through being raped. I went through being beaten by maybe more than two or three men that's raping me. It was just so much, and I wondered and wondered, and I tried to think back to myself while I'm out there on the streets, what did I do this bad? What did I do? I mean, why is I'm going through this? Why didn't my mother, you know, come back and get me? And for so long while I was out there on the streets, I can tell you, Tiffany, I thought it was something I did. I was saying to myself, what did I do? I mean, it was just very, very hard. It was very hard.
Right, right. You didn't have any other reference. You didn't know that you can go to the police. You didn't know that there was something else. All you were kind of stuck in a story of, where's my mommy? Why did she do this to me? And what did I do? Was I such a bad person that my mother, my own mother, would not want me? It's like a nightmare that never ended, and it went on and on and on. And people on the street are not very kind and not very helpful. And especially when you really don't know where to go and you just go around in circles.
And yeah, that's a lot of what I was doing. I was running across, you know, I ran across a friend of mine. Well, she was my friend and my sister's friend. She was like about 13 years old, and I ran across her at a bus stop, and I ended up getting in a car with someone that she knew, and boy, why did I get in that car? I shouldn't have never got in that car, but
wow.
You know, I didn't know what to what to do. I ended up getting in that car, and I learned my lesson. I can tell you that I should have been more cautious, even though I was a smaller kid, you know. But she was telling me for so long that you're gonna go to jail. The police gonna take you to jail, or you're gonna get in a lot of trouble if you so many people was telling me different things. They were
right,
telling me a
whole, right.
Different stuff, and that's why I was so afraid to go to the police or anybody, because I was getting, and then also when I got in that car, Tiffany, I thought that, you know, she would take me home with her, and her mother
right.
would help me, and
right,
I stayed in, in with her, trying to, just trying to, hopefully that, I'm sorry about that, hopefully that her mother can, can help me, but it didn't go that way.
Is there the noise? Is there the noise? Because we cannot hear you. Is there the noise where you're at?
Yeah, I'm trying to. It's my. I apologize. I'm trying to find it because actually I'm blind and I'm the only one here right now. I'm trying to find the phone. It's my.
Oh,
other
is the phone ringing? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm sorry. I'm trying to locate it, Tiffany, so I can turn it up.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
We should be okay now. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to.
Stop. So that totally took my attention off it. And since you brought up the fact that now you're blind, can I ask you how you got blind?
I was hit in the eye so many times. And when I did find my mom, my youngest brother, he was younger than me. And when I did find him, me and him had a he was. Didn't want me to come in my mother's house, and he was saying that, my sister came to the door, and they were saying that moms don't want to see you. She don't want to see you, so why is you coming back? And I was like, well, I want to see her, tell her to come to the door, because it was below zero when I found my mother. It was cold.
Wow.
I had run across my older sister's boyfriend, and he practically directed me, told me which way to go, and I had to walk probably like over a lot of miles, I can tell you that, to find out where my mother stayed, just asking people where this street at, because he gave me the name of the street, but I didn't know where it was. So when I did get there, my sister, my brother was saying that moms don't want to see you. I said, well, let her tell me that. Let her come to the door and tell me that. And so I ended up stepping inside the house, and my mother was saying, my mother was saying she don't want to see me, and telling me that I can leave, and she just don't want to be bothered with me. I didn't understand that. I got mad about it, and my brother was saying, "Well, go ahead and leave." And he kind of had his hand all up in my face, and then one thing led to another.
What did he do all over?
Huh? Yeah.
What did he do all over your face?
He started putting like a person just pointing. The hands and his finger was practically touching my nose, telling me to
right.
get out and pushing me and so then I started fighting, and we started fighting, both of us. He was older than me. Well, I was older than him about a year, and so then we started fighting, and everybody just sat down on the couch and said, "No, don't break it up. Imogene thinks she," that's what they call me, Imogene. They were saying, "Imogene thinks she bad. No, she thinks she bad. Let him show her. And then me and him got to fighting, and he punched me in the face, not once, but maybe twice. And I saw when he hit me the first time in my face, it didn't hit my eye, it hit my jaw. And then he hit me in the eye. And I got to seeing all types of colors. I saw green, red, blue, purple, you
right.
name it, I saw it. And but I really didn't think that it did that much damage to the eye until later. I found out that that's what caused it, you know, and not just my, you know, my brother. I've been hit in the eye while I was out there on the streets too, you know, a couple of times by, you know, strangers that beat me and, you know, raped me, and if I'm trying to fight back or something like that. But the last draw was with my brother when I, you know, found my mother. He hit me in the eye and, you know.
Yeah.
And then once the fight, they really sat there and watched us fight for probably like about 15 minutes. And then my mother had told him to stop and told me to leave her house. So I end up, back on the streets. But I did, end up at the age of 17 years old, I got my very first place.
So it's interesting that you didn't give up. So you must be the kind of person that when you want something, you go for it all the way. Because if you were looking and looking for all those years and you never said, oh, forget about it, I don't want my mother, I'm going to move on. You didn't do that. You needed to find her. You needed to know why and what's going on before
you
could move on.
And, you know, to this day, I just not know why. I can't even imagine a mother leaving an 11-year-old behind like that. The only thing my mother can tell me is I was a fast little girl at the age of 11 and just left me.
Yeah, but
that's not
a reason why. Obviously, there's something wrong with her, but it had nothing to do with you. The problem is that as a child, you always think, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? Why would your mother do that to me? That's the big message here with that.
And I do see a psychologist, twice a week, off and on, because, you know, when I was first told that, you know, my counselor with Michigan Commission for the Blind told me, well, Mrs. Wallace, maybe you should see a psychologist because of, all the things that you all went through. And the first thing when I got home, I said, Tiffany, I said, hold up. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm not the crazy one. And I thought about my mother, and it may sound mean, but I said, well, maybe my mother needs to see a psychologist, not me. And so then I started, I talked with my husband and my kids and my counselor, and she said, well, you know what, a lot of people may think that if you see a psychologist, something wrong with you. You don't have to have a problem to see a psychologist. You don't have to, if you're going through something, you may just need someone to talk to. And that's what got me so strong, my husband and my kids and my psychologist with Michigan Commission for the Blind. I mean, she really, really helped. And, I'm still fighting it today. Because that's something I would never forget, because I was out there for so long, It took me over 20 years to be able to speak about my abuse, my neglect, my abandonment.
Right.
It took me a long time.
But now you can talk about it. It's still painful.
Yes.
You're still healing. That's usually what happens with kids. They get hurt when you're a child, and then for the rest of your life, you have to fight those demons. You really do. It's not unusual for a person that suffers that they carried with them, because when you're young, you're very impressionable. And so you think everything is about you, even if it's not. Yeah, you're right, though. She does need a psychiatrist. There's no question about that. But that has nothing to do with getting help for you. That's a different story altogether. So I told you my sister is here from California, and I'm very happy that she's here visiting for a very short while. And she wanted to ask you a couple of questions. So whenever she's available to come in, her name is Leah. You can call her Leah. And she had a few questions. Are you there, Leah?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Tippi Feldenstein. I'm Tippi Talk, and my guest's name is Emily Wallace. And have you been listening to what she was saying up until now?
Yes, I was. Hi, Emily.
Hi, how you doing today? I'm doing okay.
I'm good. You're doing okay? It's very hard. If you say you're not so okay, I can understand that too.
I'm a survivor.
Yeah,
you
definitely are.
So I have
a lot of questions for you. I can't even remember all the questions I had in my head while you were talking. But one of my main questions was, and I think you did mention it, I must have just missed it. What was the reason your mother gave you for leaving you behind?
Yes, she didn't. I was told that I was a fast little girl. She said I was very fast, and that's the reason why she left me.
because you were
no
fat.
Sense.
Okay. Okay. I have another question also. Was your mother ever arrested because of what she did? Because I think she should be.
No, she wasn't.
No, because somebody
she should have faced justice for that.
Her.
Yeah. Yeah. And you never did, right? And you never pressed charges.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
That
I you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about it?
I didn't get the question.
Did you ever
think
about pressing charges against her?
You know, when I was smaller, and now that I got older, right now today, my mother is 75 years old, and you know, she put me through a whole lot. She caused a whole
you
lot.
Would.
She caused my fight. You know, I
yeah.
just looked at it that you know, she got to answer the bell.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
She got to
answer
to
God.
She has to answer to God.
But she also got to answer to you. Yeah.
Yeah. She. I'm not going to. I have realized, Tiffy. I'm not going to get a straight answer from my mother why she left me. It's been over 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, you were young. There's nothing you can do. You know, it's usually when you get a lot older that when you realize, all right, this is what you can't say. You could have done anything when you were young. There's not. You don't know what to do. But you know, now that you're older, it's a whole different story. But
yeah.
You know, it's never too late. But if you don't want to press charges, you know, that's your thing. Right.
No, I just wouldn't because you know, like I said, she to me she has to she has to answer the job. That's who's going to you know she have to pay because God knows what happened. God knows what she did. God knows what was right. So she have to and she has to ask. Yeah.
Right. And
so
we're being
interrupted with a lot of noise. Leah, are you having a lot of noise there? Because we can hardly hear anything. It's very very noisy. And,
let me try to go. Yeah, let me try to go in a different spot.
Yeah,
kind of noise over here. But yeah, I'm going in a different spot. So I also have one more question. Emily, are you a religious person?
I'm Christian.
Is this better?
Yeah,
yeah, you're a religious person, and that probably also helped you through a lot, right?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
The fact that you have your faith and all that, so I'm sure that also helped you a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I have another question. See, I told you I have a lot of questions coming to me as I'm going along. Are you in touch with any of your siblings?
Well, right now my siblings is not, they're not speaking with me because of a lot of them. What happened was one of my sisters brought my book in the school.
Hold on. There's a very huge level of noise and we cannot hear anything. Like,
there's still noise going on?
Yeah, mute your phone and let Emily speak,
okay?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Emily.
Right.
You can answer the question.
Go ahead, Emily.
Yeah.
Okay, one of my sisters bought my book in the store, in the local store that I have, you know, down in where I live at. And they passed it along with all 11 of my sisters and brothers. And they don't want to be family with me anymore. They said that I'm letting out too much information in regards to my mother and the family, because also inside the household, I was being molested by two of my brothers. Older brothers.
Right.
And they feel that I should not be discussing this. It should just stay among the family, not the public. You know, and they're very upset about that. But you know what, I'm to the point now that I just have to, you know, I have my husband and my kids. And that's
right.
You know, if they don't understand that I'm telling my story, ain't nothing I can do about that. Just pray to God, you know, that I'd be okay. I'd be strong to give me strength just to, you know, move on because, you know, I had older sisters and brothers that's a lot older than me that did not step up and say, no, Mom, don't leave Emily.
Right, exactly.
So if they don't
you
want
have to definitely do
out,
right.
It's
you
nothing,
have to
it's
do what's right for you. Right.
I beg your pardon?
I say you have to do what's right for you.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, even, you know, me, myself, and my kids, and my husband, because I, you know, my people have not, my relatives have not changed at all. They still the same people. When I finally found my mother and, you know, I ended up meeting my husband and, you know, getting married and stuff like that, I did not tell my husband for like about 8 years because I was afraid that my husband would walk away. He didn't want to be in this type of environment with this type of family the way they were because I ignored it, Tiffany and Leah,
right.
for so long. I ignored it. Like nothing ever happened. You know, I was so happy to have a mom and so happy to have a family that I just ignored what happened to me. I was still going through it and hurting and feeling the pain and waking up at night, not able to sleep, not able to, you know, if I go past a certain building or if I go downtown in Detroit, anywhere, if I would go and something happened, it would come back to me like it's today. And so
And
that's why I just, you know, I try so hard to, you know, to try to deal with this situation and just move on because I'm not going to let, you know, them get me down.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Emily, so where did you meet your husband? How did you meet your husband?
I met my husband from a friend of mine.
Ah.
And she introduced me to him, and I've been with him. I met my husband back in 1991. I got married in 1995 on my birthday.
Wow.
And, and we've been together since. And we have we have six children. Well, I have six children and one is deceased. He died 2 years ago of carbon dioxide poison. And but I have five.
Oh no! Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, but I'm you know like you know I'm a, and he always told me he said, "Mom, you know, never stop telling your story." You know, when he was alive, he said, "Mama, keep going. This story
yeah.
has to be heard, and, Mama. You know, no matter if
and you were probably."
You know, and it's something
you're
that
probably
I
a really good, yeah, probably you're really a good mother.
I am. I got, I had four in college. The one that's deceased, he was in college. I have one that's at Wayne State. Actually, he graduated from college May 5th. I have another one that go to college. And I have two, well, I have three in college, and I have one in high school and one in junior high.
Wonderful.
That is
wonderful.
Really
good.
And
one
in elementary. I'm sorry, she's in junior high. Yeah.
Yeah. And your family is
from
Leah. Yeah, Leah, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask you to mute your phone because
it
is very
Emily,
noisy.
Good luck.
And thank
you.
Okay,
Emily, good luck.
Yeah, we wish
you
a lot.
Okay,
Emily.
Thank
and
you.
Also,
I appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah, and also,
thank you for telling your story.
Yeah, thank you for telling your story so much. And also, I am going to help you spread your message of whatever it is that you feel that you want to share, whatever gift that you got out of your life and out of your experience that you want to share to help you really be able to get totally, totally get rid of that pain because none of it was your fault. So what is your strongest message that you want the world to know?
My strongest message that I want the world to know, if you are going through anything. Hello?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I was making sure. Okay. If you are going through anything, I would say to never give up. Keep going. If you have a goal to do or something you want to do, to keep going. And what I would say to kids to never be afraid to speak out about abuse or anybody. Mm-hmm. If you're going through any type of domestic violence, abuse, bullying, speak out. Don't hold it in because that's it hurts even more later down the road if you hold it in for so long. Get help. That's what I can say. Get help. You have to get help. You have to tell. You know.
Right.
And
how much less would you have suffered if you would have gone to the police or if you would have gone for help? It would have saved you so much pain and so much anguish. If you would have known that was an option.
Yes, it would have, Tiffy. It would have saved me so much. I probably, most likely, I wouldn't be blind today. I would not be blind today if I would have went to authorities and stopped letting people scare me and being afraid of person saying. I got to the point out there on them streets, Stephanie, that I was afraid. I didn't know who to trust. I didn't know who to trust. You know, I was scared and, you know, just trying so hard to make
to
it.
Stay
and
alive.
I decided to say, yeah, and to you know, right, and to stay alive, and you know, I decided to say, well, this is my home. This is my home. I gotta make these streets my home now. I have to survive for myself. I have to, not only that, as I got, and it's inside my very first autobiography, I became pregnant at the age of 12, and I still was out there on the streets trying to figure out what, where, and how, what to do. It was a hard life. And that's why I tell people, because I go around, I speak about child abuse, I speak about domestic violence, I speak about bullying, because all three of those I've been through. All three of those I've been through, and that's why, I have powerful speeches and trying to speak anywhere I can. Anywhere I can speak, Mrs. Wallace would try to make it there as soon as she can. But I just want the message to get out there. That's my whole point, to never be afraid to speak out. And I do not want any child in this world to go through anything like I went through, because it's hard. It's very hard.
Right. And I think the most important thing is for you to heal so that you have no more pain left at all. So you are completely free of your past and free of your pain and are able to now enjoy every second of your life that you have left, to enjoy your kids, to enjoy your family, to enjoy all the blessings that you were able to get into your life in spite of everything that you went through. I think that is my blessing to you, and that is what we're hoping to see for you. And by bringing your message, that will make you able to heal much, much faster. So I'm very grateful for that.
And I am too. I don't know if the last time when I came on the show, I can't remember. Did I, Tiffany, do you know if I said some of my speech on your show?
Yeah, actually we did a little bit, but also I put a link to your presentation, to your speech. And what we'll do now, also email me the links to everything that you have, and we'll post it right at the bottom here at the introduction. If you're listening to this on the internet, you'll see a slideshow, and right under that you'll have all the links. So if anybody wants to contact you, or if anybody wants more information, then they'll be able to link up to that.
Okay. Like I said, I want, everyone to, never give up, because I didn't give up. Even though I didn't get the answer that I wanted, or a sorry or apology, even though I didn't get that from my mother, I still wanted to know why, and I wanted to see her face to, just to see what she would say. I mean, how, when I found her, I just wanted to know, and I still have not got the answer. And I, like I said, Tiffany, I don't believe I would never get that answer.
I don't believe that there is an answer. I don't believe that she can actually come up and give you an answer, because if there was, because no matter what she says, it was still wrong. No matter what kind of an excuse she had for what she did, it was still wrong. So there is no answer, and I think that's why.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why you can't find it, because it doesn't exist. You can't find something that doesn't exist. The truth of the matter is she did something wrong. She did something criminal. But the problem is that you thought there was something wrong with you. And that's what the most important thing is, that you actually realize it really deep down inside, that it had nothing to do with you, and that there's nothing wrong with you, and that all those wounds can be healed, no matter what it takes to heal the wounds. I think that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And everything else.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. We will follow you. I do have your book, and I will definitely keep following you. If you have any other events that you like to announce, we will talk about it also. I'd like to thank you for sharing your story. I think it's very courageous for you to talk about your story, and that the fact that you're not listening to what anybody else is telling you. You're telling your story. You're doing the right for you and for your family, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yes, and I just want to say thank you, Tiffany, for having me back on the show again. I really appreciate it, and I'm grateful for it. I am very grateful.
Well, awesome. Well, see, you're grateful, and I'm grateful, so we're having a wonderful, grateful day today. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening. We'll follow up.
All right.
Definitely keep in touch.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.